family and home life are being continually assaulted by a society that we live in. It seems that there is a direct attack on the man's role to reduce it, mock it, scorn it, and to do anything to take it from the place that God has ordained for it. God had a precise order in mind when He ordained the family unit, and there are marvelous blessings on those fathers who endeavor to reflect biblical standards in their parenting role. We would like to share a couple of poems tonight concerning fatherhood.
Comes to occupation, my father's is the best. No matter how you look at it, he's ahead of all the rest. While most men are content to be accomplished in one trade, my father can do many things, and for each job he's paid. My father is a school teacher. It is his daily task to teach us lessons from real life and answer all we ask. My father is an engineer. He keeps us all on track. He fills the coal box with hot coals and warns us, don't look back. My father is a great farmer. Our hearts become his field. He plants the seeds, waters with tears. He's promised a good yield. My father is a builder, too, of gold, silver, and stone. Each child is a building true, built on solid rock alone. My father's a gift consultant. Our secrets he will keep. He helps us to surprise our mom. He doesn't make a peep. My father is a preacher. Each morning he doth teach a little sermon from God's word. He brings it within reach. My father is a heart surgeon. He skillfully cleans out the things which block the flow of love in our hearts and all about. My father is a counselor, the most expensive kind. He ends each session with a kiss. We share what's on our mind. My father is a janitor, maintaining young and old. He checks our hearts just to make sure we're not lukewarm or cold. My father is a plumber, too. He fixes all the leaks where God's sweet presence might seep out and hinder our growth peaks. How many verses I could write to mention all his jobs, for there are many I've left out, 'cause there's just gobs and gobs, and when it comes to his paycheck, there simply is no way we can afford to pay what's due. It grows with every day. But God in heaven does provide much grace for our dear dad, and also by our lives we hope that we can make him glad. Retirement is coming soon. The benefits are great. We'll carry on what he's begun and meet at heaven's gate.
My poem was written for a doctor's daughter. My daddy. When daddy signs his name, he always writes M.D. That is so people will know that he belongs to me. For MD means my daddy, or something just the same. And that is why he always puts these letters by his name. Some letters in his name are small, but these are not, you see. He always makes MD big like that, 'cause he's so proud of me.
Once there were two fathers in houses side by side. Each one had a little boy who was the apple of his eye. One raised his son in love and care and made him to obey. He taught him from the Bible, and each night they knelt to pray. The other father loved his son but had no time to spare, and so he left his little boy in someone else's care. Then when each boy became a man, all who saw them didn't know. One was raised with father's care, the other wild seeds did so. The one became a drunkard, he cheated and he lied, while the other, who honored God, had an accident and died. This caused the godly father grief. His beloved son was gone, but we do know of the two which father truly lost his son.
To get his goodnight kiss, he stood beside me late one night and raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say some simple words I can't forget, some words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said,
I'll be like you. I'll be like you. I'm a great big man like you. I want to do just what you do. I want to go just while you go. I want to know all that you know. I'm just a little.
Growing.
I'm just a growing. Awful big. And walking in the tracks you did. I think it won't be very long. I'm growing fast and getting strong. And soon I'll go to town with you and be your partner all day through. Just a little great big man like you, as fast as I can.
Thank you.
Instilled a burden for the mission field in our family as far back as I can remember. Always reading missionary biographies to us, going to hear missionaries speak, and encouraging us to give of our time and resources to further the cause of the gospel. This past fall, we three oldest children had the tremendous opportunity and blessing of spending several months in Ghana, West Africa. It was the second trip for Rebecca and I. This set of poems tonight reflects some of that vision for the lost in heathen lands. Before we share those poems, I really felt a burden tonight, and I asked the Lord how He would have me try to impart that burden. I felt like the Lord led me to share a story that was told to me by my father maybe a year or so ago, and I was reminded of the story by a sister here in the congregation who said that her husband grew up in Liberia. The story is that, and it is a true story, there has been a war going on in Liberia for about approximately 4 years. Three factions are fighting for the control of the country. And when I was in Ghana just a couple months ago, the fighting was still going on and many refugees were there in Ghana. But there was a mission pilot. I'm not sure with what mission group he was with, but he was flying over the jungles of Liberia, and Liberia has a lot of jungle. And he came upon an airstrip, and he thought he knew all of the airstrips in that area. Because I'm not sure if he was lost or not, but when he found the airstrip, he decided to bring the plane down, and he landed the plane. And there beside the airstrip was a church. And he talked to the people there. And he asked them why this airstrip was built and why the church was there. And the Lord had spoken to those people, and God does do this. God puts a witness in the heart of all people. But God had spoken to these people and told them that a missionary was coming. And they built that runway in preparation for the missionary to come. And they built that church in preparation for the day when the missionary would come, and they would go to that church. And the missionary promised that he would return. But the war broke out immediately after this pilot landed there. And that village is still sitting there. And those people are still waiting to hear the gospel. They're still waiting to fill that church. And I know that this is a situation in which we're waiting on the war to stop. And maybe that missionary will go. But there are hundreds, there are thousands of villages just like that all across the world. I saw many in Ghana. Liberia is just two countries west of Ghana. I saw many in Ghana, and I know there are many across the whole world. And tonight's poems, they share somewhat of the burden there for the mission field, and they also share the reasons why we don't go, the excuses that some of us have said and some of us have heard and many of us have thought, the reasons why we shouldn't go. We all recognize here tonight that someone should probably go, but there are all reasons why we don't go. And these poems tonight and the song share the burden of that.
Ten future missionaries for God's call divine. One matter, will he go? That left only nine. Nine anxious missionaries. They could hardly wait. Mother thought she needed one. That left only eight.
Eight prospective missionaries to point the souls to heaven. One was busy making money, and that left only seven. Seven devoted missionaries, their hearts on Jesus fixed. One wanted the American dream, and that left only six. Six sacrificial missionaries, ready to give their lives. One thought himself unworthy, and that left only five. Five prayerful missionaries asking God for more. One decided to stay by the stuff, and that left only four.
Four aspiring missionaries. Waiting to cross the sea. One became a farmer. That left only three.
Three chosen missionaries for the great task, so few. One thought he was too old, and that left only two. Two steadfast missionaries ready the race to run. One thought he'd wait till the children were grown, and that left only one.
One determined missionary. Thank the Lord for him. His goals all set. His purpose firm. He didn't let the vision dim. He's doing his part. The Lord is well pleased. But one of the nine is from born east. The June of Eve.
The heathen. I'm gazing now in the jungle green with the people whose bodies not fit to be seen are crusted with dirt and distorted belly with louse-packed hair and revoltingly smelly. A woman now swings her naked breast to the mouth of a babe who was never dressed. She sits in a house with mangy dogs. The best of the room is reserved for hogs. The husband knows nothing of horses or cows, but boasts his wealth by his fertile sows. The place is but fit for hogs and dogs who snooze by the fire of smoldering logs. I've seen them crouched in the desert heat. I've heard the thud of their unshod feet.
I've seen them shake an unwashed head as they cringed at the feet of their unsaved dead. Oh God, it seems to be madly absurd that they knew not Christ nor thy holy word. They have all gone to hell while we slept in our pews. While we argued doctrine, we denied them news. We've reclined in plush and saved our knees. We have had it lush and forgotten these who grope in fear in the heathen night. Had we loved them once, we'd have sent them light. O Christ, by the power of thy holy name, give thy flabby church a heart of shame. Smite her cold conscience, buckle her knees, that she has lacked a concern for these who have generation by generation been lost to thine own so great salvation. O God, on that day, that judgment day, when homes and banks have been swept away, and there is no place of habitation for any man in any nation, then every man must stand alone before the King on his judgment throne. What shall I do when the heathen stand and accuse that I seldom lent a hand to save them from pain and eternal woe, and stayed in my ease and made others go with the message I knew full well could save them from sin and fear and hell? O God, my God, in that dreadful day when all excuses are tossed away and there's no time left to repent and pray, as earthly treasures in ashes lay, then, Lord, O Lord, what shall I say for the money and time I have frittered away?
I want my breakfast served at 8, with ham and eggs upon the plate. A well-broiled steak I'll eat at 1, and dine again when day is done. I want an ultra-modern home, and in each room a telephone, soft carpets too upon the floor, and pretty drapes to grace the door. A cozy place of lovely things, like easy chairs with inner springs. And then I'll get a small TV. Of course, I'm careful what I see. I want my wardrobe too to be of neatest, finest quality, of latest style in suit and vest. Why shouldn't Christians have the best? But then the Master I can hear in no uncertain voice so clear. I bid you come and follow me, the lowly men of Galilee. Birds of the air have made their nest, and foxes in their holes find rest. But I can offer you no bed, no place have I to lay my head. In shame I hung my head and cried, how could I spurn the crucified? Could I forget the way he went, the sleepless nights in prayer he spent? For 40 days without a bite, alone he fasted day and night. Despised, rejected, on he went, and did not stop till veil he rent. A man of sorrows and of grief, no earthly friend to bring relief. Smitten of God, the prophet said, mocked, beaten, bruised, his blood ran red. If he be God and died for me, no sacrifice too great can be. For me, a mortal man to make, I'll do it all for Jesus' sake. Yes, I will tread the path he trod. No other way shall please my God. And henceforth this my choice shall be, my choice for all eternity.
I was afraid, the steward said, when questioned by his Lord, I've laid your money neatly up, there in the ground it's stored. You wicked, lazy, gainless slave, unyielded for my work, you've plenty time for your affairs, my business tasks you shirk. How often we, just like that slave, with reason-filled excuse, exempt ourselves from Jesus' work, our talents from his use.
These are my days of making plans. I'm ready to buy my car. What would my girlfriend think of me if I go away that far? Take my new wife to wilderness where roach and cricket roam, with lantern light and bucket bath, we'll spend first year at home. Our newborn babe in jungles hot, where unnamed fevers kill, as parents wise, we'll not go now. Some later day we will. Our youngsters play in forests thick, where slither deadly snakes, and natives relish beetle grubs, not now for safety's sake. Take our pure youth to village filled with nakedness and sin. Let other folks who don't have youth those Christless heathen win. You want us now as grandparents to leave the rocking chair and bank accounts and grandchildren to serve in who knows where? Why don't you ask the young and strong? We'll just stay home and pray. So our excuses cycle on while sinners die today.
We sacrifice our family life and myriad risks we take, expose our youth to hazards great for mighty dollar's sake. Yet when the Lord of harvest calls with outstretched wounded hands, who now will dare obey his call and go to heathen lands? Will you a fearful steward be, with talent safely stored, or will you risk investing all in service for the Lord?
Dying now, 100 sing a verse of Jesus, Lover of My Soul, by memory?
Jesus, Lover of my soul, let me go my good.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.